We shall now turn to Psalm 88, and we'll consider the psalm together tonight. The psalm has been described as the darkest psalm amongst the 150 psalms. It ends on a note of seeming hopelessness and forsakenness, forsaken by lovers and friends. But it's interesting that we should have such a psalm in the book of Psalms. The Psalms really describe the different experiences through which we go. And sometimes people have to go through depression, horrible depression. Sometimes they're struggling maybe for days, weeks, months even, perhaps even years, with terrible darkness, anxiety, feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, lostness, misery, sadness, and so forth. These are sometimes the experiences of God's people. And we can see that in the psalm here. And so there's encouragement for those who are going through dark days, troubles and depressions, to remember they're not alone. And they're not the only people that have gone through these things. Others have also been the same. And godly people, men and women of God, men of God who wrote these psalms long ago, they knew what it was to go through these terrible, dark experiences. Now, from the title of the psalm, we see that a psalm or song for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Mahalath Leanoth. Now, these words mean concerning afflictive illness. So it seems to be the psalmist is talking here about illness, afflictive illness. One commentator argues that the psalmist here is suffering from leprosy. Leprosy was a disease, a terrible disease in the ancient world for which there was no cure. And bit by bit, it got worse and worse, and you became disabled. You had to separate yourself from other people. You had to go round calling out, unclean, unclean. You'd lived in outside the city or in colonies, especially set apart for lepers. It was a miserable existence of increasing disability and separated from friends and family. Today's world, you and I might not be in danger of leprosy, but there are plenty of very difficult, trying illnesses around. We think, for example, of various kinds of cancer that can be very hard to live with, and the treatments for the cancer themselves hard to live with. We think of the disability that such cancers bring, the weakness, the pain, the feelings of insomnia, the feelings of sickness constantly, the limiting and restriction that such illnesses bring. We think of, for example, multiple sclerosis or motor neuron disease. Motor neuron disease that can change a healthy man or woman in 2 or 3 years into a paralyzed person that struggles to swallow food and cannot speak. Terrible diseases. And then depression itself. What a crushing illness it is. People who seem to function so well and managing their jobs so efficiently, and they can be clever, they can be successful, they can be bright and cheerful people, and then something happens to them and they just can't function properly. They can't manage the day-to-day tasks of life. They can't work. They're disabled. And they feel this sense of being forsaken. But I remember the first visit that I took to Israel many years ago. I was with a small group of people, and many of them from Wales and southern England. And we visited Israel, and one of the places that we visited was the palace of Caiaphas. And we were being taken round by a Jewish woman, tour guide, and she was explaining to us different things and tying in different things that she was showing us with what was written in the Bible. And she made a very interesting reference to this psalm. She was showing us in the dungeons, the caves, the pit, as it were, that was at the bottom of Caiaphas's house, down in the you went downstairs into this cellar, a deep and darksome pit. And she said, that's what's spoken about in Psalm 88. It's a messianic psalm, she said. And it's talking about the Messiah. I was really surprised to hear a Jew speaking in this way, but she'd obviously got this understanding or been taught this. And it opened the psalm for me in a new way, because verse 6 says, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. And so you can see that this psalm is not simply speaking about the psalmist and his dark experiences and his troubles and trials, but it's actually speaking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he too found himself literally in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps, in that horrible dungeon under the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And so, surely there's comfort for us here. Comfort for the child of God. Whatever we go through, Christ has gone through worse. He experienced, in a physical and literal sense, the lowest pit, the darkness and the deeps. But he also knew the sorrows and the depression and the misery that our sins laid upon him brought to him, and the misery that came from the wrath of God against him, because he was standing condemned in our shoes. So the ultimate comfort for the Christian is that Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He went through it all. And wherever you go in your experiences in this life, remember, Christ went down deeper, and he experienced a worse hell than you or I will ever experience in this life. Verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Well, here we have the psalmist claiming God. O Lord God, my Savior, the God who saves, the God who saves, who saved others, who saved me in the past, and the God to whom alone I look today. O Lord God of my salvation, where else am I going to look? To whom else shall I go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. Where can I be saved but from thee? And I have cried unto thee day and night. Not just putting up a ritualistic prayer. Not just formal devotions. But cry. How many prayers there are. And they are just words. And just on the surface, but here the psalmist is crying day after day and crying through the night. Sometimes we will know what it is to be awake in the night, awake in our illness, in our misery, in our depression, or whatever it is, in the middle of the night. And maybe those around us in the family, they're fast asleep. They're enjoying rest and repose. But for you and me, maybe there is no repose. And there we are in the middle of the night. And what are we doing? We're crying to the Lord, longing for the morning to come. And when morning comes, longing for the night to come because of the pain, the discomfort, the troubles we're going through. And whatever the troubles are, they're always at their worst at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, when you're there wide awake, crying to God. Day and night have I cried before thee. Yes, in the sleeplessness of night, it's good to pray. And there's nothing better that we could do than pray. And when we feel everything on top of us, crushing us down, pray. And cry to the God of my salvation. Cry to Him day and night. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. Sometimes we feel that we're praying and we're not really praying. We're praying and our prayers are getting nowhere. The heavens are as brass over our head. We're praying and we feel, where's God? He's not hearing, He's not listening, He's not aware of us, we're not getting through to Him. Sometimes it's really hard to pray, hard to persist in prayer. And the devil is whispering and saying, nobody's listening, nobody cares. God's not interested in you. You're not one of His. You're a sinner, a wretched sinner. You're on the way to hell. You're lost. You're apostate. You sinned the unforgivable sin. There's no hope for you. God's left you. God's forsaken you. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. We think of Job. What terrible experiences Job had. Think of him there, sitting in misery, covered in boils, scratching himself to try and get a little bit of comfort from the itch that covered him from his head to his foot. Awfulness. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, he cries. Oh, that I knew. Oh, that I could get to God. Oh, that I could speak to God. And sometimes Christians are in that situation where they're crying out and saying, oh, that I knew where I could find Him, that I could get through to God. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry. We think of the Lord Jesus on the cross. My God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken. Forsaken. The darkness. The despair. The God forsakenness of hell. Under the wrath and curse of God. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh into the grave. It's not just one thing that's bothering me, or two, or three, or four. My soul is full of troubles, full of illnesses, full of problems, full of anxiety, full of cares, worn down with troubles. I'm full of troubles, troubles on every side. And crushed by troubles, I feel as if I am being crushed into the very grave. Worries, anxieties, depression, crowding thoughts, feeling, all these thoughts coming into my mind, like Jacob crying out, it will bring my grey hairs down with sorrow to the grave. Our Lord Jesus, I am exceeding sorrowful, he said, even unto death. I'm so sorrowful. I'm so sad. I'm so depressed. I feel I'm just going to die of a broken heart. Die of sorrow. Do you know anything of that? In your experience, crushed. My soul is full of troubles. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. I am counted. People look on me. Everybody's expecting me to die. The doctor said, you're terminally ill. You've got days or weeks to live, or maybe months. I'm counted as those that go down to the pit. I seem to have the sentence of death pronounced upon me. I feel weakness, helplessness, pain, a breaking down of my body, a breaking down of my mind, darkness, depression, and despair taking over. Verse 5, three among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Now this term at the beginning of verse 5 is rather puzzling. Three among the dead. What does that mean? How can you be free among the dead? The idea seems to be that the psalmist thought of himself as a servant of the Lord. But now he's no longer able to serve. He no longer has the dignity of a servant of the Lord. He no longer has the privilege of serving God. He's just a reject. Set free, set out of the house, put out, as it were, from the service, because he can't really serve God anymore. There's nothing he can do for God. Free among the dead. Like the slain that lie in the grave. I feel like, just like a dead corpse lying there in the grave. Whom thou rememberest no more. God, you don't seem to care about me. You've forgotten me. You've turned your back upon me. Why have you forsaken me? They are cut off from thy hand. Cut off from God's hand. Well, we think of Christ, the depth of experience through which he went in Gethsemane and in Golgotha. We think of Christians, some Christians particularly, who go through really trying, dark experiences. Free among the dead. No longer serving God, cast out from his presence. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Well, we thought in our introduction of how this psalm refers to Christ, and how Christ was there in the house of Caiaphas, how he was tried, and then he was put in the prison. He's taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Cut off out of the land of the living. There he was in the prison, in the deep, darksome cave under Caiaphas's house, while the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the Sanhedrin condemned him to death. Away with him. Crucify him. The leaders of the church of his day rejected him, despised him, mocked him, and condemned him. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. And our Lord Jesus Christ went down into the very lowest pit, far deeper than the pit in Caiaphas's house. Because on the cross he went down into hell itself. And hell is the bottomless pit. And nobody ever reached the bottom of the bottomless pit but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he felt the full wrath and condemnation of God. He suffered our hell in our place on the cross. There was darkness from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. Darkness over all the earth. Our Lord Jesus was in physical darkness as he died on the cross. But he was also in spiritual darkness. Oh, what darkness is behind the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was in the pit, in the bottomless pit. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Sometimes Christians feel like that. They feel that God is angry with them. Well, God is angry with us sometimes, isn't he? Just like a parent is angry with their children. So God is angry with us, and he chastens us and corrects us when we go astray and when we backslide and when we become worldly or proud. He finds ways to correct us, and it's painful. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Angry, but only for a little time. For a little time. But it's very real, the anger of God, the anger of correction. How hard Job found it when God's anger seemed to be upon him. And he looked towards God, and all he could see was, as it were, God's angry face. There was no smile from God, no shining of his countenance upon him. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Isaiah 12, verse 1. But although we as Christians feel something of God's anger and his loving correction, how much more did Christ feel the full bitterness of God's wrath, punished in our place? The hot flames of hell burning him. thy waves passed over me. Sometimes we feel as if we're drowning and the waves going over and we're trying to reach up and we're sinking and wave after wave covers us. What a terrible panicky situation that is. The psalmist knew that situation. Maybe you know it in your experience. Thy wrath lies hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, one wave after another of affliction coming upon me. Verse 8, thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. We think here of particularly of a leper, how a leper can be put away from other people, how they had to live in colonies, separated from others. Even kings like Uzziah, when he was struck with leprosy because he tried to take over the role of a priest, you remember as a result how he had to live in a separate house, a house by himself apart, set apart from others. Thou hast put away my acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination to them. Well, sometimes that happens. Our acquaintance, our friends, our neighbours, our families can turn their back upon us and regard us even as an abomination. They don't want to know anything about us. Maybe they hate us for our Christianity. Maybe they hate us for some fault that has been our own. We've fallen and we've done something we shouldn't have done, and we're an abomination unto them. I am shut up, as it were, and I cannot come forth, as it were, put in a prison. Certainly lepers were in that situation, but it can come in different ways to all of us. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands to thee. The eye mourning, the tears, the weeping. Remember the first time I came across somebody who was seriously depressed. Early on in my ministry, a woman who had started coming to the church. And then she was missing for 2 or 3 Sundays now. I went round to see her, and she was there in absolute misery, weeping and weeping and weeping. She could do nothing. She couldn't look after her house. She couldn't look after herself. She was just sitting there weeping, her eyes mourning dolefully. Thankfully, in God's providence, 2 or 3 weeks after that, she was released. Released from this depression, she appeared in church and she had washed herself. She was beautifully dressed and completely different, a new person, delivered from it. But it's an awful thing when the eye mourns dolefully by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee, calling upon the Lord, day after day, and there seems to be no answer. I have stretched out my hands to thee, pleading for deliverance, and there is no deliverance. I remember a fine Christian couple, and the man was suffering from some strange illness, and they were praying about it, and they told me that the more they prayed about it, the worse it seemed to get. This strange situation, day after day, week after week, and they would set aside a special day for just praying to the Lord for help. And It only seemed to get worse. How strange it is when God seems to distance himself from us, when we can't get through to God, when he's far off from us. We're stretching out his hands to us, and he doesn't seem to be there. Verse 10, wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Lord, I feel that I'm just about to die. And the dead can't see your wonders, can't see your answers to prayer. The dead cannot get up and sing your praises. The dead cannot declare your wonders. Will I just die like this? A disaster, a failure, hopeless, helpless, end up in the grave? How horrible to be in such a situation. Death seems so near, waiting for relief, but there is none. A dead corpse cannot praise you, Lord. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Your loving kindness, your covenant love and faithfulness, your grace and mercy, the way you answer prayer, the way you deliver your children time and time again. Can the grave? Do you hear from the graveyard, from the cemetery, corpses getting up and saying, God, he's full of loving kindness. He delivered me. He saved me. No, once you get down into the grave, well, that's it. That's the end. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? The darkness of the grave, the land of forgetfulness. There's no remembering God in the grave. There's no turning to him in the darkness and hopelessness of the grave. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark? Lord, thou art light. Let thy light shine. Shine into my heart. Dispel the darkness. Don't leave me to the land of forgetfulness. Don't leave me to perish in the grave. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Now, prevent here is, of course, the Old English way, the Old English meaning of prevent, which is to come before. In the morning my prayer will come before thee. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord. In the morning I have come with my prayers before thee. Wilt thou not hear, Lord? Think of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he pours out his heart with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to deliver him from death and was heard in that he feared. Did he feel that he was heard? There's no reference to that. And certainly there on the cross, the cry of dereliction, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? As Christians, we expect God to be there, to be hearing our prayers, to be answering us, to be blessing us, to be filling our hearts with joy and gladness and communicating his love to us and his blessing upon us. But from time to time, we feel cast off and God hides his face from us. And how hard that is when we can't find God, when he's far away, his face is hidden, there's no smile, just deep darkness, fear, gloom, Satan, and the demons of hell tormenting us, and maybe people too, despising us, mocking us, crushing us. I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. It's thy terrors, Lord. Maybe people are bringing these things upon us. But at the end of the day, nothing happens but by the will of God. It's thy terrors that are distracting me. Thy worries, thy anxieties, thy problems, thy afflictions, thy criticism that comes my way. I am afflicted and ready to die. And it seems that it's been there all my life from my youth up. It's amazing how in times of depression, all the good memories disappear and all we can see is the darkness and the despair and the gloominess. And it seems that my life's experiences has just been one gloomy experience leading into another. Darker and darker and darker. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. We think of David in Psalm 32. We read there of his great distress, his darkness, his bones waxing old and his moisture all dried up within him. Psalm 51. Against thee only have I sinned. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. A disease that loathsome is, Psalm 38, has filled my loins with pain, that in my weak and weary flesh no soundness doth remain. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Sometimes we see people experiencing flooding. And it must be an awful thing to see the water seeping into your home. But if you were trapped in there, how terrible it would be. And the water level rising up in your home, that filthy water coming more and more, higher and higher, and you can't escape it. And that's the sort of picture we have here. They came round about me daily like water. All these troubles and worries and fears and the fierce wrath of God. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. Our Lord Jesus Christ, they all forsook him and fled. Though all forsake thee, said Peter, I will never forsake thee. And Peter fled, denied his Lord three times, wouldn't stand on his side. Lover and friend, hast thou put far from me? Sometimes Christians go through that experience where it seems everybody has turned against them. Their friends are far away, like Job. His so-called friends, he thought they were great friends, and they came to visit him. But he had to say, miserable comforters are you all. There was no comfort. There was only accusations and condemnations from his friends. Even as his lover, his wife, said to him, curse God and commit suicide. Curse God and die. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me. Our Lord Jesus knew that. His family, his friends, everyone forsook him and left him. And sometimes Christians are in similar experiences. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. A very dark psalm. But the very fact that it's here in the book of Psalms should be an encouragement to us. And we should remember verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. And remember Hebrews 13. I will never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have to listen to God's word rather than to the dark doubts of our own heart and the tormenting mocking of Satan. My God is my helper. Why should I be afraid? Let's pray. O Lord, O God, help us to lift up our hearts to thee, even in the hardest, most difficult, most trying times, when everything seems to be against us, when the whole world is against us, when Satan is mocking and ridiculing us, and it seems that even our own heart is agreeing with Satan. O Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the deep and darksome caves, from these pits into which sometimes we fall. Do thou raise us up. We think of the psalmist in the fearful pit and the miry clay, sinking down deep. But God heard his cry and took him from the fearful pit and put his feet upon the rock. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst lift us up, that thou wouldst restore us, that thou wouldst build us up and encourage us in thyself. For Jesus' sake, amen.